and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Thank you for joining us today. Hope all of you are having a blessed day. A lot of things going on in the world, as there always are. And, of course, we're staying busy down here at Health Masters, as we always do, getting you guys the highest quality supplements we can possibly produce. And Dad's got some different stuff he's going to talk about today. How are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, absolutely wonderful. And, you know, a couple of days ago, we actually had, a couple more shootings in Atlanta. And one of them was ridiculous. Well, they're both ridiculous. These shootings are ridiculous. They had a police officer come up to a guy who was sleeping in his car when he had got himself drunk and decided to pull over and park and parked in the wrong place. And somebody called the cops on him. And so they questioned him and they gave him a field sobriety test and he failed. And they decided, I guess, they were going to take him to jail. And he didn't want to go, so he ran away. And as he was running away, they shot him in the back and killed him. Massive protest. They burned the Wendy's. They walked out, marched out on Interstate 75, 85 interchange in Atlanta, blocked traffic, you know, both interstates. I mean, unbelievable. And, you know, you would think that these police officers would realize that just maybe at this point in time, like ever, they shouldn't just shoot people. But apparently that's not something they can do with their limited reasoning skills, I guess. I don't know. And then we had another. This is a false flag. I'm calling it a false flag. I'm very hesitant to even report on it. Also, another shooting. A couple guys in a pickup truck came in and basically shot into a black crowd in an affluent black area and killed a couple more people, put a few more people in the hospital. I believe that was fully staged to try to create a race riot in Atlanta. And so it's a big mess. And this stuff's going on all over the country. And guys, it's all part of the narrative that they do, because they want to control the group think. That's the thing with these guys. They always want to control everything, whether it's the food they give you, the supplements they, or the drugs they put you on. Whatever they're doing is to try to control mental facilities and the ability that you have to differentiate the truth. And what I've learned over the years is there's certain foods to eat, certain foods not to eat. And I've talked about these in detail, and I'm going to cover them with you real quick. Some of these are the best anti-aging substances you can take, the best thinking supplements you can take, and also the things that you should never put in your body. Let's start with number one on what never to put in your body. That would be aspartame. Aspartame is a brain entrainment molecule. It has a trigger there. You have an aspartic acid trigger in your brain that releases dopamine. People get addicted to aspartame, unbelievably so, and they basically will fight you. Some of them will fight you to get their diet sodas. I mean, I did a seminar one time up in Ohio, and it was crazy because I was doing the seminar and they asked me to go to the CD tape table, which I normally didn't do. I had a guy on the road with me. He had handled all the tape sales, etc. But this time they had it broken up into various, dude, this thing was huge. It was like three different levels of tape sales, and they asked me to go to one of them and ask questions, and I did, which I didn't like doing because I don't like arguing with people. And I was basically talking about how aspartame had 10% of its molecular structure was methanol or paint thinner, and it was a neurological toxin, and the aspartic acid component was a dopamine trigger, and it would actually eat holes in your brain. And I mean, I had all the research, and I showed it on the platform. I was speaking to about 27,000 people, and some lady walked up to me, and she has a diet soda in her hand, and she takes the diet soda, and I kid you not, guys, so she shoves it in my face, literally 2 inches from my nose, almost knocked it out of her hand. It was so close to my face. And says, I don't care what you say. I'll drink it if I want to drink it. You can't tell me what to do. And I looked at her. I said, I don't care what you do. Why do you think I care if you drink diet sodas? I said, drink it. I could care less. If you feel that adamant about it, you're that addicted to it, drink it. I said, I already told you why you're addicted to it on the platform. I said, so if you want to do it, do it. She goes, well, you're telling me to drink it. I said, I'm telling you, I don't care what you do. I said, if you're stupid enough to drink something like that, that has phenylalanine in it, aspartic acid, and paint thinner, I said, if you want to drink it, knock yourself out. I said, I've told you what it does, and now you want to argue with me. And she, blah, 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 and she walked away. And I thought to myself, this is why I don't go to the tape table. This is why I don't go to the CD table. I don't want to deal with these people because they get so addicted to this product. I had a pastor of mine one time. Basically, I did a seminar for him in the church on Wednesday night. I spoke for four nights in May, and he was a diet soda-aholic. And out of respect for him, one night he didn't show up at the seminar. And I spoke briefly about diet sodas and what they did. And, of course, within a couple of months, I was drummed out of the church. Oh, from the pulpit, by the way. Just thought I'd mention that. And so all of these things are very addictive, and they know they're addictive. Now, you need to stay away from certain things that are just bad for you. And one of them is artificial sweeteners. Now, the one artificial sweetener you have a little bit of is Sweet and Low, the stuff in the pink. I'd prefer you use stevia or monk fruit. But if you're going to use an artificial one, the stuff in the pink, the saccharin, is bad for you, but it's nothing compared to the other two. Equal and Splenda are awful. Splenda is a chlorocarbon. It's an insecticide, just like fluoride is an insecticide. Don't put it in your body. Sugar also needs to be avoided because it causes glycation, makes you age really, really fast. Aluminum pots and pans need to be completely avoided. And also no aluminum antiperspirant deodorants, aluminum chlorhydrate. Don't do that. Don't put it on your skin. It'll absorb into your blood. Trans fats, just stay away from them. You know, hydrogenated oils, avoid them like they're the plague. If anything you pick up has hydrogenated oil in it, don't do it. And then, of course, you've got tobacco and alcohol. And I know a lot of you guys are smokers. I got that. I mean, when you have millions of listeners, you're going to have people that are smokers. I'm not going to nag you about it. You already know it's bad. But just think about it. If you've got a problem with high blood pressure or coronary artery disease or whatever, what it does, one inhalation of one cigarette will cause vasoconstriction of the arterioles. If you put your hand into a thermograph and it's completely red with oxygenated blood, you take one inhalation off a cigarette, put it back into the thermograph, it'll turn completely blue within 30 seconds because of the vasoconstriction. That's why cigarettes are bad. Now, alcohol, if you have an occasional glass of beer or wine, whatever, who cares? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I don't care. But don't be doing it every day. Alcohol is really addictive. About 10% of the population is genetically predisposed. If they start drinking alcohol, they're going to get addicted to it. My mom drank too much. Her dad drank too much. That could have been from the fact that they were in Germany during World War II and they were self-medicating. That's a fact. But Germans in general drink too much. My brother, half-brother Carl, he's basically an alcoholic. And I love him. He's 14 years older than me. I mean, he's 78 years old now. Spent his whole life boozed up, drunk almost all the time. And so I realized that I've got that DNA that if I start drinking, I'm going to want to drink. Just thought I'd mention that. So I don't drink. Now, every once in a while, I'll have a glass of wine or whatever, or a Bailey's. You know, I have those every once in a while. So if you see me on an airplane and I'm flying business class and they're giving away a free Bailey's, I may have one. So there you go. But the Bible doesn't say drinking is going to send you to hell. It says you're not supposed to be drunk. Now, drunkenness, I don't do that. That's ridiculous. I mean, why are you going to do that? Now, when I talk about doing this, I'm talking about once every couple of years, all right? Now, now all of you guys are saying, I can't believe Shed the Ted is saying he'll drink alcohol. Well, yeah, I might have a beer too. So if you want to go ahead and throw me up on the cross, I guess, you go ahead and do that with that too. But every once in a while, I may have a beer. There's nothing wrong with that. Here's the problem with this drunkenness. Drunkenness is the issue. Don't do that. Now, you'll very rarely ever see me, if you ever see me in public, ever doing any of those things, because I really don't do those, like I said, but every couple of years. But the point is, I'm not going to judge you. Jesus' first miracle was to turn water into wine, and that's after the guests were already drunk. So don't get on a kick and pray with me about that. I go to Baptist church, too, and I got to deal with the blowback from what I just said, regardless, because of that church and what they believe. But again, I don't believe we should be drinking. But then again, the same people that are in my church, the Baptists, will suck down NyQuil, which is basically ethanol, which is liquor, and Tylenol, which is like the worst two things you can put together if you want to blow out your liver. So if you're taking Tylenol, which is basically, well, I guess you could say it's a shot of Jack Daniels, but it's not really Jack Daniels, it's just ethanol. And, you know, in Tylenol, you're drinking basically alcohol that's not going to make you go blind when you drink Tylenol, but it can blow out the liver. So what is the difference between, well, it's for medication only, okay? Well, then how about you take a hot toddy, which is some alcohol with some honey, if you're sick to go to sleep at night? Oh, you can't do that. What do you think you're doing with NyQuil? So let's not go there today because I don't want to deal with all that. But guys, as far as I'm concerned, if Jesus will make wine for a wedding, if you have an occasional glass of wine, I'm talking like once a month, whatever, I don't care for wine anyhow, I don't think it's a big deal. But avoid alcohol in general because alcohol increases the risks. Here we go. Of pancreatic cancer, breast cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, and osteoporosis. It's not healthy, and it kills brain cells. So that's why I'm very, very careful with it, and I very rarely ever do it. Now, but those are the things. That's five of my top 10 list of things to avoid. Now, there's some good things that you can do for your health, too. Melatonin It's one of the best anti-stress supplements you can take. I mean, it improves the microstructure of bones. It protects the skins. I mean, it actually has been shown to fight cancer. And then you got turmeric. Every night before I go to bed, I take turmeric because it really helps with inflammation, helps to sleep at night. And I had a friend of mine the other day. I mean, he eats a lot of sugar, and he's having health issues, and his wife's having health issues, and she eats a lot of sugar. And he said, how much of the turmeric should I take? And I said, well, 15 a night before you go to bed or whatever, or up to 30 a day if you're having real bad inflammation problems. But isn't it easier just to cut out the sugar? Just thought I'd mention that. So sometimes it's easier to cut sugar out than to spend all that money on turmeric. But I take it every night because it really helps me sleep. Because I had back surgery 31 years ago, and if I get inflammation in my back, I have an issue with my back hurting at night. This stops it completely. Now, another one is green tea. Now, I use the purple sticks, and I've had some purple sticks this morning. So if you wonder why I'm talking so fast, there you go. And it actually helps reduce cortisol. Now, people say drink coffee. I don't believe in coffee. Now, every once in a while, you have a cup of coffee. I don't have a problem with you doing it every once in a while, but here's the problem. If I drink coffee more than 2 or 3 days, it elevates my cortisol so much, I don't feel right. I feel kind of funky. I just feel something's off. I get cloudy, foggy. It doesn't help me with that. Plus, it can increase the risks of breast cancer. It does, by the way, because of the methylxanthine component. It can also increase blood pressure, increase the risk of heart disease. So don't drink coffee every single day. And then there are all kinds of other supplements like B-complex, methylated B vitamins that really help to maintain your moods, cod liver oil, probiotics. There's all kinds of natural things that you can do. A really good multiple. I like our pattern multiple. I use it every single day. There's some really good things that you can do on a regular basis to feel absolutely wonderful. Now, one thing I want to cover with you too. I want to give you some health stuff this morning because you guys are saying, why don't we ever do any more health stuff? So I just did some health stuff for you because that is my training is in that. The other stuff that I have here as far as all this political stuff that we talk about, that's because I've read literally hundreds of books and thousands of articles, and I've got a real good retention, so I can talk about this stuff and analyze it and try to bring it to you in a light that pretty much makes more sense. But here's something I want you to realize. There's a thing that was in the Washington Standard this weekend. I'm going to post it on our website. It's called Manipulating the Masses. Edward Bernays and Why the System Needs Your Compliance. Now, this is pretty interesting. It says, you're being controlled and you're being manipulated and you're being brainwashed if you're still stuck in believing in sides. Now, I'm paraphrasing some of this. And they're talking about a video of Edward Bernays, who was a nephew of Sigmund Freud. And by the way, these guys were both Kabbalists. Let's put the numbers back together. They were both Sabbatean Zevi followers. They were Sabbatean Kabbalists. They want to turn the world upside down. These were mind-pioneering guys in the field of public relations and modern propaganda. Now, they gave you group psychology and group thinking, how to control it. They also talked about the illusion of choice and how it can be used to manipulate the masses because it's all about dividing and conquering. Now, this makes you want to be basically a puppet because they put a puppet up in front of you. If you want the best to best change, you got to reject the system. You got to be neutral with it, the entire system. That's what we try to do on this show. I do my best to avoid political theater here. Now we say, well, you hammer Trump sometimes. Well, yeah, I do hammer Trump sometimes, but I also hammer Clinton and Biden and everybody else. I hammer everybody. I hammer Germany. I hammer Russia. I hammer China. I hammer everybody because if they're going to sit there and try to control you through that group think mess, which by the way, they really fine tuned with Tavistock and Shell Shock and MK Ultra. They really fine tuned how to do this. But then we got to go back to what the House of Rothschild says. Let us control the money of a nation, and we care not who makes its laws. Now, think about that for a second. We've got to understand who the guys are who are controlling. Who can you not talk about? If you say anything about certain people, you get nailed. Oh, you're an anti this, you're an anti that. And you got to understand who these people are and what they believe. There is something being concocted in the dens of power far beyond the public eye, and it doesn't bode well for the future of this country. Anytime you have an entire nation so mesmerized by political theater and public spectacle that they are oblivious to all else, you better be aware. This is a quote by John Whitehead. You know, what we have to realize is voting is also being massively manipulated because any master thinks they own anyone else is evil, and they think they own you to some degree. These guys are evil. So you have to understand that you have to stand against the system. I mean, why is it so many politicians bend immediately to the will of the deep state? like a twig in the wind. You know, it's time to be honest about that. The people never really have champions in the ring anymore, do they? The last one I know of was John F. Kennedy. So let us talk no more of democracy or voting, and of course this is hard to accept and acknowledge because it's so devastating for the delusions that hold individuals together from day to day. Now this is an article on one of the websites, SHTF planned, and we need to realize that the candidates and the creatures of the state who have willingly lied and deceived the people while looking them in the eye and pretending to have good reasons are recklessly and wantonly jeopardizing the world in a way that hasn't been since the Cold War. And so we see this happening right now of the groupthink and the control of the masses. I mean, look at these folks. You've got in Washington, D.C. now, they've taken a street, and I thought they had just put up a sign or painted Black Lives Matter in a little block print on the side of the street, you know, 6 inches tall or whatever, Black Lives Matter. They didn't do that. They took city blocks, and they put Black Lives Matter in 30-foot-tall block letters. Block letters, 30 feet tall, across a four-lane road. The entire four-lane road, it spells a B, L, A, C, K, all the way down, multiple city blocks, Black Lives Matter on a road, main road to the White House. What the heck? Talk about, why didn't they paint that in front of Planned Parenthood? Why didn't they paint that in front of Planned Parenthood that it's pretty much murdered 45 million black babies? Why didn't they put Black Lives Matter in front of Planned Parenthood? Oh, well, that's right, because that's controlled by the Democrats, who also control the KKK, who also, you know, were against Lincoln, who also were the primary slave owners, who also were the primary problems that we've had in this country from the very beginning because of their socialist ideals. Always remember, as I mentioned this last week, Abraham Lincoln, who was a Republican, was good friends with Karl Marx, and Abraham Lincoln's wife was a nutbag who had seances in the White House. She was a Satanist. Yeah, that was Abraham Lincoln. And in the Washington Monument, so he said, they're going to tear that down. I'm like, good riddance of that giant phallic symbol in the middle of D.C., giant penis in D.C. Are you kidding me? From Osiris? We want that there? Does that really need to be there? 666 feet tall, 550 feet tall, 555 feet tall with a 111-foot base in it, making it 666 feet tall, all Masonic? Do we need that thing sitting in the middle of D.C.? Yeah, I don't think so. They can tear that down for all I care. And that Lincoln Memorial, that can go too. Yeah, you can quote me on that, by the way. Since now people are saying that I'm a Republican and I'm a bad guy on social media, which is right, whatever. I'm more of a libertarian, but I believe we need to have rules, and I believe we need to not just let all of our morals go to nothing like we talked about last week on Monday's show. I believe we really need to realize that we need to all, you know, put God first. And I'm talking about the great I Am. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about, you know, the Lamb of God, the Prince of Peace, the Counselor, the Good Shepherd, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the Messiah. That's what I'm talking about. See, I was praying this morning. God kind of showed me something. And this is kind of interesting. You know, right in the middle of my prayer, I went, whoa, okay, got it. And I want to mention it to you guys this morning. You know, we have all these different sub-religions going on all around us. And we've got these people who say we have all these other species and entities of people and aliens from all over the galaxy, the Palladians and the Andromedans and all this stuff. You hear about all this stuff. And they're all this person and that person, this person and that person. What we got to realize is this. You know, we're not alone. That's number one. Number two, God told us there were other entities in other dimensions. He kind of told us that was going on in the Bible, like, repeatedly. They kept popping up out of nowhere. You know, this is what they did, these angels. I mean, every time an angel showed up, it was pretty much prefaced with this: fear not! You know, like, oh my God, where'd you come from, right? That's so God knows that we know that he's told us that these things are out there. So we got that. All these other things, what they try to do, and they do it kind of in unity, I guess, because, you know, Baal and Moloch and Asherah and all these different names, Quetzalcoatl, all these different names, you know, this snake thing. All of these things come to you in different forms, but they're all the same entities. And we need to realize that we need to be talking to God Almighty, the great I Am, the creator of the universe. All these other things are just copies and fake things. The Bible says that Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking the home of those who he may devour. He can't devour us because we're covered by the blood of the Lamb. But it also says he masquerades as an angel of the light. Hence, we talk about Masonic lodges, about how Lucifer is a light bearer. And they worship him. And the name Jesus cannot be mentioned in a Masonic lodge. So we've got to point out who does all of this stuff. And then we've got to look at the manipulation of the groupthink. I got a letter today from Donald Trump. And it's it says, "Dear fellow American patriot," it would have been much more effective had they sent it to dear Ted. But this is what they do now. They give you these letters, and I guess they make them so you're supposed to believe that Donald Trump wrote this. The man who can't construct a sentence, two sentences together, he basically is going to write this letter. And he goes, "I'm up early to write you." All right, everybody knows he's up early. And he goes, "The truth is, it's the 2016, 2018 elections when the radical Democrats took control of the U.S. House and put Nancy Pelosi in charge." Wait a minute. Donald Trump had Republican-controlled Congress in 2016 when he took office. Now, you're not supposed to remember that. You're supposed to forget the fact that he couldn't get rid of Obamacare with a Republican-controlled House. He goes, "They've done nothing but pursue endless witch hunts and have shamelessly advanced their left-wing agenda. And now it shows that their internal Trump's internal polling shows support for his leadership is record high." That's not simply not true. And then he says, "The election will decide who leads America from this pandemic-caused economic crisis." He forgets to talk to you about who told him to shut down the economy. He's the one to shut it down. We're about to have hyperinflation. The bankers run the world. The international banks run the world. We've got to realize that. These cabalists. And he goes, "Despite the Democrats' never-ending partisan gamesmanship and knee-jerk opposition," wait a minute. Again, Obamacare is still here. And he says, "Well, I put Neil Gorsuch in as basically Supreme Court." Neil Gorsuch is a CFR member. Well, yeah, the Council on Foreign Relations, brought to you by the Rothschild banking empire after the fail of the League of Nations, dedicated to a one-world government. Yeah, he appointed a CFR member to the Supreme Court. Yeah. And he replaced NAFTA with one that's actually worse. And then we're still in the Middle East. We're still in the Middle East, and we're still not getting rid of the Afghan drug trafficking. And he's talking about how the coronavirus has crushed the economy. Well, he's the one who shut the economy down. Before the pandemic decimated many parts of our economy. Again, blame shift. Let's blame it on this pandemic. And I'm not picking on Donald Trump now, because I know certainly he did not write this letter. And I understand that a lot of you guys like Trump. And I voted for Trump. And I'm going to say this again. I had a huge 3x6-foot sign in my yard for a full year, 6 months before the election and 6 months after. And after he started putting all these CFR members into the positions of power, I finally said, "You know what? I'm going to pass on this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to pull this thing down as I figure out what's going on here." But again, the next thing they'll do, they'll probably bring Hillary back out, and they'll give us that choice between Ebola and AIDS again. You want to elect AIDS, or you want to elect Ebola? Which one you want to get? You know, Hillary's Ebola. So you know, if you put Hillary in, you're gonna be dead within 3 to 4 days. You're gonna bleed out from your mouth and your ears and your organs. You're gonna turn your organs into liquid. You'll be dead about 72 hours. So you're gonna have to take AIDS, which they keep you alive with medication. That would be Trump. You're like, "What the heck? Why do I have to choose between Ebola and AIDS? I don't want either one of them." Well, you know, what did George Carlin say? He said, "If the voting really mattered, they'd make it illegal. They wouldn't let you do it." See, and this is what we find ourselves in, all of this unbelievable manipulation of what's going on. You know, spends trillions of dollars rebuilding our military. We're not building our military. We're building a space force. We're building deep underground military bunkers and black ops. Remember, half the doggone military budget is black ops, and Congress doesn't even know what they're voting for. They spend trillions and trillions of dollars over the years in building things that we don't have any idea what they're doing. It's because of these other entities that are really ruling us through interdimensional interfaces, through human sacrifice, and the weird stuff that these guys do with this blood drinking stuff. We got a bunch of sickos up here running the place. And then he goes on, where 50% of their earnings go up to prop up failing big government socialist programs like Obamacare. Again, he nails Obamacare again and starts talking about the massive deficits, and like it's somebody else's fault, but yet Donald Trump's the one who signs these budgets into law every year. He's the one who signs them. So then we have to ask ourselves a question. How are they controlling him? What do they have on him? Or is this just another body double that they use so many times? I mean, who in the world knows what goes on with these clowns? I mean, Hitler had a bunch of body doubles. We know that. Saddam Hussein had a bunch of body doubles. We know that. Good grief. We've seen Hillary Clinton's body doubles. We've seen them walking around after that time she fell down in the park getting into that vehicle. We saw her walking around a few hours later. I mean, that was millions of views almost instantaneously. I mean, it's crazy. Now, again, we all say, as long as we stand together, we'll make America great again. Well, we already stood together. And, you know, we still have open borders. We still have open borders. We still have millions of immigrants piling into the United States. We haven't closed the borders. We haven't built a border wall. You So we have to ask ourselves a question. What's really going on here? What's really going on here is this. The international banker, Kabbalist weirdos, whatever you want to call them, Luciferians, Synagogue of Satan, pick the name, I don't care, whatever you want to call them, they control both sides of the narrative. And Otto Kahn told us back then, that back in the 20s. They control the yin and the yang, if you want to use a common term that's basically New Age, if you want to use that term. They control the good and the bad. They use communism as a break. They use free enterprise and capitalism as an accelerator to turn the planet any way they want. That's how arrogant they are. He said, they hold the earth by its axis and they turn it any way they want. This is who runs the planet. This is what they do. Now, I'm not telling you not to vote for Donald Trump. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I mean, you know, if they gave us a choice between Ebola and AIDS, you know, we have no choice at that point, right? But the point is, what in the world are we doing as far as saying it doesn't make any difference of what our political leaders do? We won't hold them accountable. Won't hold them accountable. Doesn't matter what Trump does. Now they're saying is we have hundreds of thousands of people want to be in a rally in Tulsa. Well, Tulsa's not even that big. 800,000, I think, was the last number. What does that even mean? I don't even believe those numbers. But now it probably will be a huge rally because everybody's had enough of this whole mess with this lockdown and everything else that's going on. And there are a lot of people out there, including me and Austin, probably 95% of you guys listening today had genug, which is a German word for enough. We don't want to believe any of this stuff anymore because we know these guys are just liars. These guys are professionally paid actors and liars. And as long as they do what they're told to do and they give us the information they're supposed to give us, they get the brownie points and they get to be on this world stage and everybody knows their name. And some of these guys, in fact, most of these guys, in fact, pretty much all of these guys and these women both are megalomaniacs at this level. In other words, they really believe they can do whatever they want to do to whoever they want to do it to, and it's okay with everybody else because it's the Donald or it's the Hillary or it's the Cher, it's the weirdo or it's the Robert De Niro or whatever the heck you want to call them. They can say anything they want as long as they do what they're told, and it's okay because a certain amount of people will follow them. This morning I was on with ManCow, and he asked me to come on, and this girl comes on, and he wants me to comment on what she's got to say. And she says, everything white needs to be abolished, ManCow. And I'm paraphrasing this. And Man goes, what do you mean everything? She goes, everything. He means all the songs, the Beatles, you know, everything. Every song ever written by a white, everything. Every white song needs to be abolished. Every white anything needs to abolish. He goes, well, what about the statues and all that stuff? What should we do with the statues? He goes, oh, no, it all needs to come down. And the ManCow ask me. He says, what do you think? And I quoted George Orwell from 1984. Here's what I quoted on the show. Every statue and street building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. George Orwell, 1984. So that was pretty much my entire show on ManCow today, my little reading of that. But that lady who read that, she was absolutely sincere in what she was saying. Years ago, and I've told this story a couple years ago, I'm going to tell it again. I had just spoken in Dallas, Texas. I believe I was at the Reunion Arena, or it may have been Houston, I can't remember. It was either one of the two big cities, either Dallas or Houston. I couldn't get an upgrade to the first class. I was sitting in coach, which is okay. And I was flying home. It was only a two-hour flight, and I'd stuck my bags right behind first class because this plane was relatively empty, and I basically was stuck by the toilet in the back. This is prior to 9/11. And so I'm sitting in the back by the toilet, and I don't like sitting by the back in the toilet because it's just disgusting. And secondly, it takes a long time to get off the plane when you get to where you're going to get, to Orlando, and we had the one flight coming in, you know, that I was able to get on. So I walked up about 15 minutes before the flight landed, and I sat with those ladies sitting in the bulkhead, which is for handicapped primarily, or people that can't really get along real well. You get on, you whatever. And so I said, do you mind if I sit with you? She says, no, not at all. So I sat down. So I was being nice to her. She sat in the middle seat. I was sat on the window seat. And she sat there, and I talked to her. I said, well, how are you doing? She said, I'm doing great. And I said, I see you're in the bulkhead. She goes, oh, yeah, I have rheumatoid arthritis. I said, oh. And I said, that's really pretty easy to get rid of. That's if you get rid of the nightshade variety of vegetables, the eggplant, the bell peppers, the potatoes, and tomatoes. I said, and you start taking like cod liver oil as a good anti-inflammatory compound. You know, of course, I could have told her turmeric too, but I didn't. I said, at that point, I said, you'll start getting better from the rheumatoid arthritis almost immediately. Her response was this: I don't want to get rid of it. I'm like, oh, why not? She goes, well, I'm on government disability. I'm like, okay. She goes, well, they pay me because I'm sick. Because I don't want to not be sick and not be diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. I said, well, aren't you in pain? She goes, oh, yeah, I'm in pain all the time. I said, so you'd rather be in pain all the time instead of just changing your diet a little bit to maintain the rheumatoid arthritis, to maintain the government subsidies? She goes, yeah, yeah. And she looked at me and she goes, you have to understand something. You don't know me, but I'm one of the last of the true Teddy Kennedy bleeding heart liberals. And I looked at her. I said, well, what does that mean? She goes, well, I believe that the people who don't want to work shouldn't have to work, and people like you need to support us. She said this to me. And then I looked at her. I said, oh, I just thought I'd better change the subject real quick. And I said, well, do you have any kids? She goes, I have one child. He's a son. He's about 21, 22 years old, and he has AIDS. And he basically is also on government subsidies, and he does whatever. He basically gets money from the government every month also for not working. And I said, oh, so you're both the same. She goes, yeah, yeah, we both the same. And I said, well, and she goes, and we appreciate you guys, you know, paying for everything. And I said, well, I'll be honest with you. I said, this conversation is kind of odd for me. I said, because I'm on the road all the time, living out of a suitcase, doing seminars. And I said, now, mind you, I'm well known, and I, you know, we have our own home study courses that we've developed. And I said, but I'm really getting tired of being gone all the time and working all the time. She goes, and I said, I'm getting tired of all the taxes I got to pay. And she goes, well, they need to raise your taxes. And I looked at her and said, what? She goes, yeah, you need to pay like 90% of what you earn in taxes. I said, so if I make $100,000, I need to give you the government $90,000. She goes, yeah, so you give more money to me and my son. And I looked at her, and by this time, to be honest with you guys, I'm getting pretty pissed. I am. I'm getting pretty pissed. I'm wishing that I sat back by the toilet, and I wish I'd never met this guy. I don't want to know people like this lived, okay? They existed, right? So I got this loon that I'm sitting by who's telling me that I should be taxed at 90%. And I looked at her and I said, well, I'll just quit working. She goes, well, you won't do that because people like you work all the time because that's what's in you. That's the drive that keeps you going, is to have your goals and your objectives. So you have to work in order to maintain your life and maintain your lifestyle. And so we just want to take your stuff from you so you can give it to us. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And I just said, look, I said, this conversation has to stop. I said, I don't want to deal with you anymore. She goes, that's fine. And she shut up. And finally, the plane landed a few minutes later. I thought, God, I need like a doggone colonic. I need to go jump in a shower with lye soap. I got to get this woman and this weird mess off my mind. And here I am, that's over 20 years ago, and I'm still talking about it. And guys, this is the groupthink, the mind think of those who paint Black Lives Matter on an entire two blocks in Washington, D.C., not even thinking about the fact that they should have put it in front of Planned Parenthood. This is the groupthink. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe Black Lives Matter, just like I told you last week. White Lives Matter, too. Hispanic lives matter, German lives matter, Russian lives matter, Jewish lives matter. All these lives are important and they're precious to God. And we have to love one another because that's what we're called to do. But guys, you know, what is up with these guys and these people like this guy, this lady who called up on ManCow this morning? Is she like, who dropped her on her head when she was little? Again, oh that's right, she wasn't dropped on her head, was she? This is the product of 80 years, almost 90 years now, of Frankfurt School theology in Cloward and Piven in our educational systems. This is what this is. This is what this is. And now, this group mindset that Bernays and Freud and MK Ultra is so systemic that people believe that every single white artist's songs should be banned. Now, mind you, I know a lot of these white artists have pretty much sold their souls to the devil, too. Katy Perry admits to that on YouTube. I really don't have a problem her songs getting banned because of what she admitted to. But again, do we really want to censor stuff, all of this stuff, every time somebody says something? What a weird situation we find ourselves in. That's why I can only say this. Today is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. And as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, for this is the day the Lord has made. Austin, Bud, what do you think?
Well said. Excellent intro. And this is one of the reasons why the divide and conquer strategy has been so effective for the bankers for generation after generation after generation in all these different countries. That's exactly what they've always done. And this is exactly what they're trying to do to cause the demise of the United States. if the United States was able to rally together and we all joined forces, didn't matter what your main belief was as far as your race or any of this stuff, you put petty differences aside, because in the scheme of all this stuff, most of it is extremely petty. It's been extrapolated and it's been expanded to seem extremely serious, but the reality of it is 99% of whites don't have any racial biases in most cases. 99 to 98% black, same thing. Hispanics, the same thing. Majority of people in the United States in 2020 don't act like that anymore. 99% of cops are probably pretty decent. And you have a few of them that may have instances and they do stuff that they shouldn't do. But you have that case in almost everything. You have doctors that do stuff they shouldn't do and people die. You have people that mess up flying a plane and people die. People make mistakes. There's no question about that. And you have some people that shouldn't be in certain positions and they get past the rigorous standards of certain entry points of certain businesses and jobs. And so what people have to understand is trying to sit there and say all these things have to stop, all this stuff needs to get banned, is simply lunacy, but it's being pushed by the mainstream media through Antifa. We've seen now that Antifa is a far-left paid group. They are global. They are not what everybody thinks they are now. They are a full-blown global destabilizing group. That is what they're there for. They're there to overthrow regimes. They're probably embedded some parts of with the CIA, with the Mossad, with all these guys. I talked about this on the show last week. Do we find it just simply ironic that the United States, including in coupling with Israel and coupling with the UK and MI6 and stuff, has overthrown like 70 different countries to institute new puppet leaders? This is a regular occurrence. So seeing this occur in the United States shouldn't be bizarre to anybody. Now, it's surreal. We're not used to it. But it's not abnormal for these people. This is normal occurrences for them. And so that's why we have to address what's really going on and say, hey, look at what really is happening and who is really doing it. And this is why I bring up, and Dad brings up a lot too, the bankers of what's going on. People have completely and totally forgotten what happened just a few months ago. How we saw the transfer of wealth from the middle class and small businesses all to Wall Street and the big bankers via three stimulus package. I mean, we had the, $4 trillion that the Fed said they're dumping into Wall Street. Then we had another $2.2 trillion stimulus bill, which is a complete and total lie. Hardly any of it went to the American populace. The payroll protection program that they put out went hardly to any small businesses. You had huge businesses getting these $5 to $10 million loans they got, and they sucked the air out of the room almost immediately to the point they had to have another, $400 or $500 billion section to the payroll protection plan. Now Trump's saying he wants basically another $2 trillion bailout. Pelosi's saying she wants three. They're trying to meet in the middle. So, I mean, all in all, by the end of the year, we're going to add like close to $10 trillion to the national debt, if not more. Well, who's going to eat that? Well, the American populace is going to eat it. Who's benefiting from it? Well, the bankers and big corporations are getting it. Does anybody find it funny, ironic, just slightly humorous that, you know, apparently you could not get coronavirus at Costco, Sam's, Walmart, Target, any of those places? They were fully essential. As many people as really needed to be in them, 100%, you can go as much as you want. But a local mom-and-pop store forced to shut down because they were non-essential. Even sometimes they sold the same thing. Why? Because they're not going to shut down these big corporations. Amazon's exploded in growth now. Imagine that. This is what the goal was. And now they're already saying, because, oh, the COVID's coming back. COVID's coming back. I've said this for weeks now. I said, the COVID hasn't gone away. It's just sat dormant now because they wanted to push the agenda with the riots. COVID's expanding as far as on paper from what they want to say. Now, a lot of people get it. Majority of people are fine that I've talked to. Now, of course, you hear about these horror stories where this 25-year-old healthy guy got COVID and he was in the hospital for a month on a ventilator. I've yet to verify one of those claims. I've seen a lot of those claims in social media and shills, in my opinion. Now, could that have occurred in some places? Absolutely. Is it an incident that could have happened? Yeah. But is it something that I think is absolute norm? No. As we've already seen from the recovery rate and from the amount of people that actually got it and tested positive and had hardly any symptoms, this thing is minor at best. It's basically an aggressive flu. Now, if you get it and it hits you hard, does you have bad symptoms? Yeah, I mean, you can die from it, obviously, if you're older, especially if you have underlying health issues. But the entire aspect of COVID was nothing more than a ploy to make sure they could shut down the economic engine of the world because they didn't want to have hyperinflation in the United States. Dad and I called this out. Dad extrapolated on it months ago when it first happened. Because what happened is, when you start dumping this much money, when you start dumping trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars into the market and into businesses, if you start doing that and it starts getting spent into the private sector, you start to have a massive inflation in the M1 money supply, and so they couldn't have that happen. So what's the easiest way to do it? Lock everybody in their house, shut down majority of businesses, completely and totally restrict people's travel, prevent tourism, prevent people from going and doing anything freely, unmolested on their way, and voila! You have a completely and totally shut down economy. You can transfer trillions upon trillions of dollars of wealth to the bankers, and hyperinflation will not occur. It can't, because there is no money being used or spent because everybody's sitting in their house just trying to scramble to pay their bills. What we're seeing right now is the beginning stages, the overthrow of the United States of America. And these riots are just the test subjects, the test research to see what they can get away with, how far they can push the standard, how many police will slowly step down. Because I told you guys this before, what they're planning on doing is bringing in a federal police force. They're going to federalize it. I'm telling you what, right? That's what they've done in every single communist dictatorship. Because if they can bring in a federal police department that is answers to the one and only all-powerful government, and that they are basically loyal to the all-powerful government, you no longer have these nationalist aspects of local police departments that work together with local citizens anymore. That is gone. You basically have a de facto military police, a martial law, without calling it martial law. That's what the goal is. That's why we see now, I mean, I talked to my buddy who's in SWAT the other day, the Sheriff's Department. He said they're having people drop off left and right in the Polk County Sheriff's Department right now. So they don't want to deal with it. You don't pay me enough for this. I'm not going to get bottles and rocks thrown at me almost every single day or when any of these incidents happen and have to do this stuff and get called out every single day. I mean, my buddy, he's exhausted. They get called out almost every single day on SWAT right now. Almost every single day they're getting called out now because they cannot take any chances because Grady is absolutely bent on making sure he protects this county at all costs through the Sheriff's Department. The problem is it's massively taxing the SWAT team, and it's massively taxing the local law enforcement that they're dealing with because everybody's on edge right now, and they cannot take any chances with a lot of these guys because they do not want to have these riots and looting pop up and start burning and torching local cities. The problem is we have a lot of local areas that have deep heritage here in Central Florida. You know, Lakeland, Bartow, Arbordale. I mean, shoot, right down the road. I mean, I'm going to see it from the office. You know, 500 yards from here, we have the old Baynard House in downtown Arbordale. It was built, I think, 1880. Still there. They remodeled it and refurbished it a while back ago. We have a lot of historic areas in Central Florida. The problem is you start torching this stuff, there is no repairing it. There is no getting that back. That history, that historic area is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It will never come back. It's gone. But again, this is what the leftists want to promote. They want to remove the thought to even utter. It's funny, I watched 300 the other day. Great movie. Fantastic movie. Incredibly graphic. Don't recommend children watch it. But the storyline, the accuracy, for the most part, is very accurate. With King Leonidas, with the Spartans, and Xerxes. And one thing that's interesting, when King Leonidas, basically who's running the Spartan squad, and Xerxes, the big, you know, they call him the God King, he steps down, they have their first meeting head to head. And basically Leonidas says, no, I can't kneel to you. Basically makes a joke out of him. He said, you know, I got a cramp from killing all your men. I'm not going to be able to kneel today. It's just not something I'm really in the mood to do. And Xerxes pops off, this big, you know, legend God King. Xerxes the Great. I mean, you read about it in the Persian Empire. And he goes, what you're doing is not noble. I am going to absolutely remove the name of Spartans from the history books. He goes, I am going to burn every piece of Greek parchment. Even uttering the name of Leonidas or the Spartans will be punishable by death. And Leonidas says, no, you won't. He says, in the history books, they will write that free men stood against a tyrant. And even if we die, we will be remembered for that forever in history. And sure enough, to this day, 2020, that was back in, I think, 470 BC, we're 2020 AD now, and we still talk about Leonidas and the Spartans and what he did in holding off the Persian Empire for 3 days at the Hot Gates. So basically Spartan and the rest of Greece could assemble their army to fight off the Persian Empire from the tyrant Xerxes. But it shows you in that movie, when you're dealing with tyranny, how far they are willing to remove you because they do not want anybody to remember your name. We're dealing with that right now, guys. We are having another Persian invasion of the United States. Completely different time frame, but that's exactly what we're seeing right now. They want to move the entire history of the United States. They want to remove the entire history of the world of what has happened. They want to make it in 20 to 30, 40 years that it will be fake news hate speech if you even utter the Revolutionary War, or the Colonists, or the Patriots, or even the American Patriots that fought after 2020 to hold the line and try to maintain a constitutional republic. That is what is so dangerous about book burning and tearing down statues and trying to remove history. Because once that happens, you fall into full-blown tyranny, which eventually goes into a full-blown annihilation of your way of life, of your family, of your history, of everything you know. That is what is so important right now. So understand that this is not just some BLM group running around spewing rhetoric. This is a heavily funded, heavily leftist, paid group that's designed to push full-blown anarchy to make sure they can make the fall of the United States and the history of the United States in the ash heap of history that nobody wants to speak about. But as in what Leonidas said in that movie, they will remember what we did. If we stood up and we fought against tyranny, or if we sat down and we pretended it was going to go away and we said, hey, Q's going to save us all. It's not going to happen that way. We're all going to be saved by this random dude on the internet and not have to worry about anything. Those men back then, those Spartans, those were warriors. Those were real men back then. They did not, under any circumstances, were they going to allow that to happen while they were alive. That is the resolve that we really have to take back in the United States right now. And understand, if we don't step up and we don't start speaking the truth and we don't start making a stand for our convictions and what we know is right, they will burn history books and they will remove us from history, and hardly anyone will ever speak the name of the great patriot Americans that made this country so great for what it was. It doesn't matter if you're black, it doesn't matter if you're Hispanic, it doesn't matter if you're white. If you're an American patriot, you're an American, and it's time to stand firm in the truths and convictions that we all have in this country and stand up for freedom and what's right, man.
Wow, Austin, that was great. Also, they want to remove the name of Jesus. Okay, now let's be straight now. Let's be straight. They're so desperate, they're willing to crank CERN up and open up a wormhole and try to go back and stop the crucifixion of Christ to completely and totally erase Western civilization. You think, well, they really wouldn't do that. Well, they can't. God's not going to let them. The great I am will never let that happen. Remember, he's omnipresent. They're not. You know, they're so freaked out that they're not omnipresent, that they can't go back and change things or go in the future and see things. All they can look at is the Bible, see what the Bible says, and then try to subvert it and change it in advance because they know that's the end plan. So it's crazy to me that these guys hate Jesus that much. Why is that? Why is it in these deep underground military bases you can't mention the name of Jesus? Why can't you mention Jesus in the Masonic lodges? Why can't you do that? Why is it that they don't want to talk? I remember one time I was talking to this Jehovah's Witness, and she was a nice lady, but she was just another weirdo Jehovah's Witness. And I'm talking about Jesus, and she finally says, "Why do you always talk about Jesus?" And I said, "Because he's the author and the finisher and the perfecter of my faith." "No, he's not." And she just starts, and I said, "I totally disagree with you. That's who he was." They don't want you to speak about Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as part of the triune Godhead, as part of God Almighty, the exact image and the representation of God Himself, according to the book of Hebrews. They don't want you to talk about that. Why? Because there's power in that name. You have a relationship with the real Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And they understand that. As like Austin said, it's the unity of the believer that changes the world. My goodness, it took them 2,000 years to try to destroy Christianity. They tried for 300 years until the Roman Empire succumbed to Christianity. But then the problem is they brought a bunch of heathen junk into it when they made it a state religion. And then it lasted another 14, 15, 1600 years. And it got totally corrupt. And then Martin Luther came in and said, hey, you know, we got to stop doing these get out of hell free cards. This is ridiculous. We got to start. By the way, those are called indulgences. You have to buy your neighbors and your relatives out of hell. Just give them enough money and they can build another giant cathedral if you don't have to go to hell if you're an unbelievable heathen, or you can buy somebody else out of hell. Luther says, this isn't okay. Things got corrupt. We got to stop this. Of course, he was persecuted until he died for that. Started the Protestant Reformation. And then we had the Protestant work ethic, and a bunch of Christians and Protestants came to the New World to get away from the Catholicism and the running of the state by the Catholic Church. Let's just be real here. To have freedom of religion was what I was taught in school. It was back in the 50s. And all of a sudden, you know, we have America. And then the Masonic lodges have to jump into the middle of this thing and create their new utopia, their new Atlantis, their new capital building in the shape of a pentagram with the streets, with this ovary system of the Capitol building with a giant penis sticking up Washington Monument. I mean, with all this weird stuff with Osiris and all this Egyptian mythology, right out of the doggone Kabbalah, right out of the Masonic lodges. Albert Pike said, if it wasn't for the Kabbalah, there wouldn't be no such thing as Masonic lodges. Yeah, that's who runs the world. These weirdos, these whackbags. I mean, look at this. The biggest bailout of Wall Street in U.S. history was planned months before the pandemic virus crisis. I mean, I'm gonna post this article. It's unbelievable. The transfer of wealth from the middle class to small businesses to Wall Street has also been swift. All three stimulus packages have already been implemented, with the vast majority of new money being produced by the Federal Reserve and the central bankers, primarily benefiting pharmaceutical industries, which has a blank check at this point to develop a fast track, warp speed, yep, COVID vaccine. Project Warp Speed is led by General Gustav Pirna, Dr. Mansif Saluti, the former chairman of GlaxoSmithKline. Okay, this is what Trump brought us. Trump's mobilizing the military to deliver the coronavirus vaccine. BlackRock, owned by the Rothschilds, controlled by the Rothschilds, authored the bailout plan before there was a crisis. And it's now been hired by three separate central banks, all Rothschild controlled, to implement the plan and buy up the world. This is what's happening right now. Right now, as we speak. The BlackRock authors, just in case you want to have names, Stanley Fisher, Philip Hildebrand, Jean Bovine, and Elga Farch. All of these guys are tied together. The Federal Reserve has given a no-bid contract to BlackRock to manage all of its corporate bond programs. Are you kidding me?
Jeez. No.
And this is why they keep giving more and more and more money to Wall Street. I'm gonna put all this stuff on the website so you guys can see it. And I want to ask you guys a question again. I prayed for you guys today. I love you guys. I do. You guys are awesome. I got the best. We got Austin and I have the best listeners on the planet. You guys are just amazing to me. You guys are the most educated, the most resolved. You guys have resolve. I love you guys. But let me ask you a question. How many other shows are we all listening to that covers the stuff that we cover? Honestly, in the aggregate. Every once in a while, somebody may touch on this or touch on that. Who's the last person that told you that Sigmund Freud, Lloyd, and Edward Bernays were both Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferians? And they're the ones who put this groupthink model together that was used through Tavistock, that was used through MKUltra. Who talks to you about this stuff, guys? I want to thank you for listening to us. I don't know. I mean, when I have these downloads from God and these prayer times that I have and I share them with you, I want you to know something. It's because I want you to understand that we were called according to a purpose. That God wants you to do something specifically in your life. He wants you to have a goal and a dream that's going to bring honor and glory to Him. And if that simply means that you're going to be supporting this program or sending this program out to other friends of yours so they'll listen to it, to allow this show to get bigger and bigger and bigger, it's already huge, maybe that's it. The show that we try to keep the show centered about, how many times I mentioned the name Jesus today on the show? Who else does that? So I want to thank you for that, Lord. I'm praying and talking to you guys at the same time, because I tell you what, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But I want to thank God Almighty, and I do every single day, for what He's done by allowing us to be part of your lives and you part of our lives. God, we know that my group, these listeners, and everything that we do together, we're all part of the solution, like Austin said. Let our name be remembered for walking and talking and loving, following Jesus. Austin, finish it up, bud. Love you guys.
Absolutely well said. I mean, continue to get the truth out there. Continue to stand your ground on a lot of this stuff, because I see more and more, and it's quite been embarrassing, I'll be honest with you. Not my friends or anything, but just stuff online with more and more people capitulating and giving in, and people, you know, complaining, and then people turning around and asking for forgiveness for being white. First off, don't you ever ask for forgiveness for being any skin color. I don't care if you're Hispanic, black, you know, Asian, white American, it doesn't matter. You were born that. God made you that way. You do not have to ask forgiveness for any of that. The only person you have to ask forgiveness of is for your sins, and that's the God Almighty. That's the truth. So stand strong, stand on your feet, don't live on your knees. If you guys need anything, healthmasters.com. Food buckets are in stock right now, organic, free shipping on all food buckets in the 48 states. HR5 coupon code, put that out on Friday. HR5, the Hagman code, gave a new code out on Friday, 5% off all regular price products. And also be sure to check out the vitamin C capsule antioxidants on sale this week as product of the week, 10% off. Check it out, healthmasters.com. Stay ready, stay prepared. You guys have a wonderful night, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.